We are edified, and your name is? We are looking at the Champions League. Say, I am a champion. I saw it in God's word. So in this season, because I've used the last 3 weeks to talk about who you are, and I'm now talking much more about emphasizing the things of the Spirit. So what I'll be saying to you, whatever it is you're hearing me say to you, it's something you have to mix with faith. Praise God. Church, praise God. Yeah. But I actually want to teach about closing the door. Meaning keeping the devil out. Because we need to understand that we have used 3 weeks to tell you that the devil is defeated. But there are very visible realities where it looks like the devil is dealing with men. And these people are who? Believers. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Right. But I'm on a journey, so follow me. Because if you don't know what happened in the beginning, you may not understand your authority. If you don't understand your authority, you would not know why it is so important to keep the devil out. Amen. Amen. All right. What actually happened in the beginning? Timothy, Titus chapter 1. I want you to follow me. It's going to be a Bible session as fast as we can go. What happened in the beginning? Because there is a theology that people think is the gospel theology. What people think the gospel theology is, man sinned, God got angry. So all this while, we have been trying to pay a God that is angry. Amen? Amen. That's not the gospel. Let's look at the gospel from the Bible. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Are you there? Please, you have to be there quick because I need to get to where I'm going to. Amen. Praise God. Are you in verse 2? Okay, in the hope of, what is hope? An expectation of something that would happen. Is hope in your present or in the future? When you say I'm hopeful, are you not thinking of a good outcome of something in the future? So in the hope of, I want you to be awake in this service. In the hope of, you know, like my pastor will say, he says, when I am teaching and you start to feel sleepy, it's not the devil, it's biology. Maybe you ate too much. So stand up, walk around, but don't actually sit down and sleep off. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Look at it. Titus chapter 1, verse. In hope of
eternal.
Which God that cannot lie. What did he do?
Promise
before the world began. So before the world began, meaning before God created man, what did God want to give to man?
Eternal
life. Praise God. So what do we see? God now creates a man. The man he created was from dust. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Because if you are going to understand this authority business, we want to look at it. The Bible tells us, and he created man from the dust of the field. That's why you see, let me show you in also Genesis chapter 3, when he was talking about, I think it's in verse 19. He said, look at Genesis 3:19, part B. He said, for out of thee thou was taken, for dost thou art, and dost thou shall. So who was man? Dust. So what God did in Genesis 2 was that God created man, and when God created man, God breathed into him so that he might exist. But what did that man not have? He did not have eternal life. Listen, what did the man not have? Why couldn't he have had eternal life? Because eternal life was a promise. So what did God do? God creates Adam, and what does God present to Adam? Life. That you see it in the whole story of a garden. And in the garden, there's a tree. There's a tree of life. So he presents to him life. What did man do? Man rejected life. What does that mean? Man is in death. Praise God. That is why the whole debate about God is that what will God do to death? Because what has happened to man? So it's not first about the man sin or man did not sin. as at creation, man needed life. Why is that important? If God created man in such a way that man, God just gives man life, I mean eternal life, without man choosing it, God created robots. With human beings, and me and you, there must be an element of choice. Are you getting the point? So this is the issue here. So that is why the Bible has been saying all that God wants to do. So what did God do? God created man. Then God now put in man a desire for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? So God put in, that is why there is, everyone is worshiping something. Why? God put it there. Is that you are worshiping God, you're worshiping the devil. Even the atheist is worshiping something. He's worshiping a false ideology. Amen. Everybody is worshiping something because by creation it was put there. God put in man the tendency to seek God. So the point is, man, instead of seeking God, God's way. Man starts to seek God, man's way. How does he end up? An idol worshiper. Acts 17. Acts 17. Amen. I need to explain this so you may understand authority and you understand what to do to keep the devil out. Verse 26. And he made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27, are you there? That they should
seek the Lord.
How many people did God create to seek the Lord? That they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of. So what did God put in the man that he created? That tendency to seek. And so the point is, in seeking, he was actually meant to find God. So God put something in Adam. The thing in Adam was to seek God. God now put it in front of him. What does Adam decide to do? He rejects it, and that's how death comes into the world. So the point is, whether man likes it or not, man needed help. Amen. Church, man needed help because man has rejected life. And in rejecting life, there is a problem. Praise the Lord. Church, look at 1 John 2. It's all through the Bible. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, quickly. Are you in 1 John 2? We want to read verse 25. Are you there? And this is the promise that he had promised us. What did he promise us? Eternal life. Before the world began, eternal life is the promise of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So what was the problem with man? Man was in the hand of death. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Man was in the hand of? It was not particularly an angry God. It was a redeeming God who is trying to redeem a people who are in the hands of death. And what is the answer to death? Life. Amen. Church, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I win verse 9. Who has saved us? 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Who has saved us and what has he done? Called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in? It was given when? It was given in Christ Jesus. When? When was it given? Before the world began. So before the world began, God had a plan. His plan was to give man life. Look at verse 10. But what is the problem? Adam rejects life, but is now made, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our. Why do you need a savior? You need a savior because you are held under the clutches of death. Amen. Right? What has this man done? The savior is in verse 10. Who has, church, who has done what? Abolished. So what is the singular thing you can say God did for you? What is that singular thing that you can say God has done for me? So the man in Christ is immortal. Amen. Amen. That is why we can have hope even when loved ones die that are believers. Are you hearing me? Listen, I always tell people, if somebody is not a believer and the person dies, if people are crying, leave them. Why? That person has actually lost every chance to have life. And so to speak, that's eternal destruction. But when a man has believed the gospel, if we don't see him anymore in his earthly body, we can cry because we miss him, but we must know. I hear what I'm saying. We must know. That's what you have believed. It is what we believed. We know. Are you getting what I'm saying? We know. If not, if somebody dies, that's why Paul said, if Christ did not come out of the grave, we are of most men miserable. Meaning death still has a say. You know, this is the reason why we preach the gospel. So that the man that has believed knows that death has actually been what? Defeated. So when someone passes on, right, we say, oh, I mean, think about it. What will make you sane? That a human being that you have known and you have loved, like, you know, like I always tell people, 10 years ago, this time 10 years ago, right, you know, 10 years ago, someone just called me. My mom has passed on and all of that. And the next day I had to be in service and I preached like this. And even the saints, they don't know and all of that. And people asked me, what is keeping you sane? I said, oh, when it comes to my mom, who was my best friend at the time, right? It pains. But there is something I know. Are you hearing me? That's what makes us believers. You know what you believe tests you. I know I will see you again. I know. It says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So where is that your brother or your sister or your mommy or your daddy who has gone to be with the Lord? They are actually what you said, with the Lord. They are having a better time than you. Amen. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. What are you actually excited about in this gospel? Christ has defeated death. Amen. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought, ended something and brought something. Say, I believe. That's why I said in this teaching, what it's about what you believe. It's about, this is the tenets of the gospel. Look at it. Who has abolished? Come on, say, death has been abolished. Death has been abolished. So it's true, one day, this flesh will drop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This flesh will drop. But do you know something? Love your flesh. Get me right. When I mean love your flesh is the legal entity to be on this earth. That's what I mean. So what do I mean by that? Take care of it. Sleep. Amen. Eat. Don't overeat. Walk your body well. Why? A believer takes care of the body. It is scriptural because he understands more than others that the body is subject to fail. Amen. The body is falling. He knows that there is another body coming someday. Hallelujah. He knows that he's going to have what is called the celestial body someday. But because he is on assignment, say, I'm on assignment. I'm saying many things. That's why you keep your body. That's why you take care of your body. Hallelujah. Because you know that if this body is abused, you would lose your right to exist on where? This plane. But you can never die. You will be in another plane. Amen. So, who is the man that is a believer that takes care of his body? The man that knows he has work to do on this earth. When we see you abusing your body, eating anyhow, doing all of those things, you are telling us you don't know you have purpose. Amen. Because your body is what? The legal right to be on this earth. When God wanted to come to this earth, how did he come? As a human being. So the body, your tabernacle, is something you take care of because it is your right to be here. However, we know. Amen. Church, amen. However, we know that the man that has believed the gospel knows that death has been defeated. That is what Jesus did. He abolished what? What is our good news? He abolished death. Someone says, how do you know? We say, we believe. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. What if it is wrong when we get to the end? I believe. That's what makes us different. I'm a believer. I believe that death has been abolished. What else has happened? He says he has abolished death. And what did he bring? What did he bring? He brought life. I mean, immortality. Who is the believer? An immortal man. Amen. He is no longer subject to death. We are not saying his body will not drop someday. We are saying that man is subject to death. And he believes it. On his earthly journey, that's why it's a walk of faith. On his earthly journey, everything about his body tells him that he is not immortal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many people brush their teeth this morning? How many of us? That is your body telling you that you are what? Mortal. Because if you did not, it will bring out a stench. That is the state of the man. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Church, so who got us using toothbrush? Well, that's another. Well, the point here is everything in your existence shows you growing up. You know, growing up looks like you are growing. But you know, you get to a point where which you know that growing up rather looks like you are aging. Amen. Church, amen. So when you're younger, growing up looks good until you're getting to 80, 85. You now start seeing that hair that used to come out that used to be what dark is now. Why? The face is now that used to be fresh is now wrinkled. So you will know clearly that okay, this body is subject to death. Amen. Church, amen. So what has God done? God has brought us life. This same God has brought us life is the same thing I said last week. He has done what? He has raised us up together. Amen. And made us sit together in the heavenlies. Amen. Far above how many? All principalities and powers. So the man that is the new creation, the man that is born again, the man that is immortal, is he in Christ? Yeah. If he's in Christ, where Christ is seated, is that where he is seated? Yeah. So what is the reason why? What is the issue? What's going on? That it seems like the devil still has a say in the lives of men. I've spent the last 15 minutes telling you, you have actually defeated the devil. The devil has been defeated by the Lord. The devil was publicly disgraced. So what is going on? Please understand that there are some things called lusts of the flesh. Someone say lust of the flesh. Come on, someone say lust of the flesh. So just so that I conclude and start. The lust of the flesh opens a man up to the devil, though the devil has been defeated. Amen. You know, this is one of the important reasons why believers live what they call holy lives. Amen. Okay, let's go into it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We have to move quickly now. Ephesians 4. Come with me. We are in verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. Are you there? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you, henceforth walk, not as the Gentiles, walk. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
What did he say? So there is a way the believer walks. And the way he walks is not as the Gentiles walk. Please notice. Notice something there. It says there that they walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their... So the mind affects my walk. That is why the Bible talks about the renewal of the mind. The mind of a man determines his walk. The spirit of a man is perfect. I'm able to understand that. That's where God is. Your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Spirit, soul, body. Where is God? Spirit. What determines how you make decisions? Your mind. Praise the Lord. What is the girlfriend of the mind? The body. What the mind says, where will you see it practiced? The body. So there is the way that we walk. So the way a man walks is a function of his mind. So the Bible says we don't walk the way the Gentiles walk. There must be something you know about the Gentiles and their mind. That's what will make you not envy them. It says they walk in the vanity of their mind. So for example, an unbeliever will say, my dress is my worth. Have you heard that before? So when he doesn't dress well, am I against dressing well? No. But are there situations in secondary way, which, for example, let me use a woman, for example. Sometimes I call Fola, we need to go and do something. Fola can say, I can leave the house, I'm not doing makeup. Because she's not overwhelmed with the fact that her looks and her dressing is her life. Amen? But the man that is not born again, there are things that he has in his mind as what gives him what? Identity. But that's not who we are. He says vanity of the mind, meaning a failed mind. A mind without God. That's what it means. The man that has not believed, that's why you must know the gospel. When you know the gospel, you cannot envy unbelievers. Because the Bible, by its teaching, tells you the believer's mind, as it pertains to God, is vain. Vain means not productive. Look at it so that you don't say I'm the one that is saying it too much. In the vanity of their minds, look at verse 18, having their understanding. How many unbelievers have a darkened understanding? Church, how many, please? Because how many pertaining to the life of God? See, pertaining to maybe fixing a camera or an iPhone, can they do it? Yes. Can they? Yeah. You train and all of that, yeah. But pertaining to the life of God, what has happened to their minds? It is dark. What is he trying to say? They cannot see. Darken. He says, being what? What is the problem with the man that has not believed? The man is what? It's in your Bible there. Alienated. He's far away. Say, I'm not far from God. He says he's alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their... So the man that has not believed is blind. The man that has not believed is far. He's blind in his mind. He doesn't know God. He doesn't understand God. He's blind. So he's vain in his mind. Amen. Amen. So he's vain. So the productions of that man will be, as it were, unhealthy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what Romans is trying to talk about. Look at Romans. The man that has not believed the gospel. Romans chapter 1. Are you in Romans chapter 1? You know, this particular, I'm not going to qualify the statement so it doesn't look like it's a special statement. But I want to show you something. Look at Romans chapter 1. I want to read verse 21. You know, people say things like, I was born homosexual. The Bible tells us it's not true. Say, I'm a believer. You know, you must stand your ground. Even if medical science comes and says it, we are believers. Look at Romans 1. And that's why we say, we have just believed because he wrote it. He said it. He says, because that they knew God. You know, everyone that is born into this world has an idea that there is a God. How do we know? Look at Romans 1:20. What did God do? Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest where? Verse 19. Is manifest where? No, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. Church, is manifest. Where? Where is it manifest? In them. So there is something in the man that has believed. That God has put in the man that has believed. That he has to fight against it to say there is no God. Not only did God do that. I'm reading Bible. It's not pastor. It's not dire sentiment. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 19. Manifest in them. For God hath. Hey, yeah. For God has. God, how many people did God show himself? Everyone that has believed. Where did he do it? Inside us. In creation. In creating us. Like I said in the beginning. He created us with a bias for him. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of the... He said, if you forget what he did inside, what else did God do? God did something outside. He says the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen. You know, it takes proper denial to look at the sun and its intelligence, to look at the moon and its intelligence and say it happened because of a combustion that we don't know where it came from. The mathematical accuracy of creation. The mathematical accuracy and the depth. You know that it is something that is intelligent you can measure. You know, we can measure accurately that, okay, tomorrow it will rain in Baghdad. And we say, no. It just happened. We are too intelligent to have come from apes. But man will say no. Look at it. It says here, it says, we're in verse 20. Being understood, it said clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without. How many people are without excuse that God created? No one can say, I did not have that thing within me. It is hardness of heart and the blindness of heart that will make God now sends a preacher again. Are you seeing that God threw everything to it? God put it in someone's heart. He showed us in creation. Then sent Toby the evangelist to go and tell you about the gospel. And men will still say, no. That's what the Bible calls the wrath of God. Look at it. What is the wrath of God? Look at it there for yourself. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. Romans 1:18. What is the wrath of God? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Then he now uses 20:21 to tell you about the ungodliness of men. What they did to come to that state. What is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is allowing man destroy himself after God has done all that God can do. Amen. Church, amen. I'm going to show you from here. Look at it. Look at verse 21. Because that they knew. You know, he's explaining the wrath of God. In 18, he's saying, this is the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? Before he talks about the wrath of God, he tells us, this is what happened to humanity. Humanity actually have it in them and outside of them that there is a creator. But they rejected the creator. They will not see what the wrath of God is. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him. Okay, verse 21. Because that when they knew him, they glorified him not as God. They were not thankful. What happened to their imagination? They became vain. They became vain in their imagination. And their foolish hearts were darkened. What happens to your heart? When you bring and put Jesus at the center of your heart, it becomes spiritually fruitful. That's why we always tell you, well, you may not like it, but most of the times, you benefit the most from praise and worship. What you call praise and worship. He says they were not thankful. What happened to their hearts? So they didn't acknowledge him. That's the point. What happened to their heart? Did anything happen to God? No. What happened to their hearts? It became darkened. So actually, putting God outside of your life is not to God's disadvantage. It's to yours. Amen. It says it that your heart became darkened. When the heart becomes darkened and the heart is what controls how you live, the Bible will now tell you, you start to see men behave anyhow. Amen. Amen. Church, are we... Church, amen. Amen. Okay, are you following so far? It says their foolish hearts were darkened. So when their foolish hearts were darkened, they now start doing anyhow. Look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. When a man rejects God, he thinks he is wise. But in the eyes of God, he becomes a fool. Look at verse 23. And what did their foolish hearts do? They changed the glory of God into the glory of what God created. So that's when man started to say, bed is my God. Tree is my God. Cow is my God. What did the Bible call it? Their darkened hearts. What is the wrath of God? Look at it. It is now in verse 24. Wherefore, God gave them up unto... God gave them up unto uncleanness through the, what did the Bible call it there? Lust of whose heart? So we are going to see a couple of things now. What did the Bible call it? Lust of their own. Just talk to me. It will be lust of their own. So what did God do? God allowed man do what man wants to do. What did man do? Lust of his own heart. That means, please listen, that means there is no one who says he's homosexual who is not following the lust of his heart. It starts, and I'm really teaching about shut the door. So it is first the lust of the heart. The problem is that the lust of the heart opens your own door to the enemy. Are you getting it? Okay, look at it now. He now says, they opened themselves to the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own. Who wanted to dishonor their body? Human beings. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Look at verse 26. So what is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is not God coming down, destroying people, killing everybody. The wrath of God is God saying, I have tried to save you. I've put it in you. I've put it around you. I've sent men to you. You still want to do what you want to do. I have to, by function of being a gentleman that I am, allow you do what you want to do. And when he allowed man to do what man wants to do, the Bible says he gave them up to a reprobate mind. Amen. Even the woman, you know, see, he says the woman started to lust after women and men. Amen. So I am telling you, I've said so far, what happened to man outside of God? But say, I'm a new creation. I have authority. So where do we find the devil? Now, remember, the devil has been defeated. The devil has been defeated, but you can open your door. Someone say, your door. So it is what you do. Amen. Let me show you Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 18. It says, they have an understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the blindness that is in their hearts. Okay? He's talking about the unbeliever. Look at verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:20. You have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in, the truth is in. What does he now tell you to do? I am really talking about close your door. That you put off concerning the former. Put off concerning the former. The old man. Who will put off the old man? God? Demons? Or you? Mm-hmm. The old man. What is the issue with the old man? Don't get it wrong. Are you a new creation? But the Bible is talking about an old man. Where will be that old man? No. Where will be that old man? The way the mind thinks. So there is a way man used to think, which was darkness, which was not the life of God. That mind. You are born again, but was that mind born again? No. So what are you to do with that mind that is not born again? You put off that mind. How do you put off that mind? By renewing your mind. Amen. So look, that's what it says in verse 23. Now look at the verse 22. It says that mind is corrupt. It follows its desires. Are you following me? But what did he say in verse 3? Be ye renewed in the spirit of your... Where does renewal take place? Church, where does renewal take place? In the mind. And that you do what? Verse 24. What should you do? Church, what am I to do? So there is an old man and there is a new man, practically in your thinking. Are you a new creation? Yes. But is there what you are to put off? Yes. That's why the Bible must be balanced. Some people just say, yeah. No. There is an old man. There is the way the old man thinks. The old man thinks based on desires. What it wants to do, it just does. But the new man is not like that. Amen? Amen. It's, and how, look at, it says, put on the new man. That new man is created in righteousness. Say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. So there is righteousness that you are in the spirit. And there is the one that your mind embraces through truth. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So what will be that? Look at verse 25. It says, wherefore, put away lying. Say, put away lying. Amen. Are you there? Say, I'm a new creation. We don't lie. You know, there are brethren that, and you know, like I said, I'm not apologetic about it because it's our reality. One of the things, myself and my wife, we are pastors, but we function very heavily in the prophetic. Don't let me say prophetic, so it doesn't, you know, I don't hear prophetic. But the point is, we see and know so easily. You know, sometimes somebody will lie to us and we may know. Amen. And we still have to be pastoral to just talk. But the thing is, why is he lying? He doesn't know that he's a member. We are members of the same body. Revelation drives behavior. So, you know, he would lie. It's the same reality with Ananias and Sapphira. I'm not in support of their end. But it is the fact that you don't know we are members. You know, when you don't know we are members of the same body, there are attitudes that you put up with. So why doesn't Temi lie to me? She doesn't lie because look at it. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth to the neighbor. Why do we say the truth is there? We are what? Church, we are what? Members one of another. It's not about shouting, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. Revelation makes you act differently than the old man. Amen. You see, believers, they lie in business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, let me tell you, any job you do that will make you sin cannot be from God. Oh. You know, a brother came to the meeting, right? After the first time he came into the meeting, he gave thousands of pounds to the ministry, right? Oh, brilliant stuff. The next meeting, he came to me, and as he was talking, he was like, you know what? I said, what do you do? He said, I take from who took from us, and I give it back to who should have it. Ah. This job function is easy. It's becoming too long. Bro, what do you do? That brother, that's the last time he was in the local church, but it's fine, because we must say the truth. When he means he's taking it from who took it from us, he's saying that he's into, I'm life. What? Eh? No, don't let's use that one. Let's use the one that others can, which is an international ministry. Others can understand. He's into fraudulent activities. So he would defraud some people, then come and be nice to the poor. Come to church and give 4,000 pounds. No. So you are not doing right. You're a thief. Amen. In business, we don't lie. The business you will do that you have to lie. You say, if I don't lie, I will sink. Sink. Let the brethren and Jesus come and carry you. But we don't lie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't lie. It doesn't matter what. He says, we are members. So there is something. So it's a corporate culture of the new man in Christ. We don't lie. So we don't check your, Brother Toby, how is it going? Right? When will you be around? Say, I'll be around at 5. Brother Toby is still in Spain. Brother Toby, why? Amen. Say, we don't lie. Why don't we lie? We are members. Imagine my hand deceiving my leg. We are members of the same body. Is that revelation that makes us do what we do? That's why we treat our neighbor better. We treat because we are one. Amen. That's why we meet the needs of the other brother. Because we are actually one. Revelation drives behavior. If that revelation does not drive your behavior, the Bible says you will open up yourself to the devil. And that's the fate of Judas, even though he was not born again. Who will the devil use? The person that opens himself. That's why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote it that way. They will tell you Judas was a thief. Judas was a thief. Judas was a thief. He stole from the bag. He stole from the Lord's bag. You know, there are some people that have, you know, when you steal from God, say fear God. Tell your neighbor, fear God. You know, this is Jesus walking in all the operation of the Spirit. You have seen him raise the dead. Judas was there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Or you must have heard about it. Judas was there when he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So you will steal money and you will not know. Amen. It's just like how stupid this other guy too was that was working with the prophet, Gehazi. You think they didn't know? It's just that those prophets of the Old Testament, they had angels going with them. They say something about your life, that's it, it's over. Before you can even say, God, I have mercy, angel has hit you. Amen. The guy said, did the spirit not go with you when you came and met up with the rich man Naaman and said, give me some goods? We don't lie. And that's what the Old Testament is teaching us. It's the same thing. Jericho, they told them, don't take anything from Jericho. What did Achan do? He said, I saw a goodly Babylonian garment. He took clothes. Where do you wear clothes on? And in those days, amongst the Jews, they dressed the same way. So where would he have worn the clothes he stole to? But he stole it. Amen. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we don't deal with them like that. Like we gather stone and we ensure that it's buried and all of that. But what do? We instruct ourselves. Say, I don't lie. Now, this is why it's not only are we members of the same body, there is something sinning does to you. Okay? Let's see there. The next verse is 26. And be ye, I'm in Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye, did God say don't be angry? You know, let me say something to you. Learn to prioritize the Bible. It is the greatest medicine for your mental health. It is the greatest therapy. Just believe what he says. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Be ye. Follow, be ye. Angry. Yeah, you can be angry. But there is a way you get angry that sin will enter. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. It means that anger is okay and permitted as long as it's not long. That's why sun goes down. They didn't have time. Amen. Amen. Because prolonged anger will get you doing things. And look at the next verse. Neither give place to the who gives place to the devil? The believer, who, the devil, has the devil been defeated? But can a believer give place to the devil? Yeah. You give place to the devil. He says, don't be angry. He says, be angry, but don't let it not be for everybody's begging. Your nation is begging you. You say, no, I will deal with her. Do you know what my mother did to me? There are sensitive issues, but I'm a new creation. Do you know where my father was? Do you know where my uncle? Do you know what they did to me? Amen and amen. I understand it, but I am just saying to you, you must understand the revelation behind your activity. Amen. Let not the sun go down upon your rod. Look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. What is anger? Anger is a lust of the flesh. Look at Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5. Right? It says, now, verse 19, now the works of the church. Now the works of the flesh. Look at verse 20. It talks about, we're going to go into this next week. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation. Do you see wrath there? Yeah. It is a work of the church. No, it's not a work of the devil yet. It's a work of the church. It's a work of the So when a man is angry, is it the devil or the brother? Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at next week. It's going to be interesting because we're going to look at what people say. No. It's the devil. Is that where now? No. It's the flesh. It is the flesh that you are choosing not to mortify. Amen. And what is the implication? The implications of this thing. Give no room to the devil. Some say, oh, thank God. Me, in my own family, we don't even get angry. I don't get angry as I'm like this. I forgive everybody. So, you see, let me tell you the ones that worry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, that is, that is how we open our door. One of my mentors, B.B. Yeoman, a woman, she preached healing for 60 years. She was very sick at a point and got healed. And then B.B. Yeoman spent all her life talking about the healing power of God. Then, I don't know if it was during her time, maybe she was thinking about menopause or something, and she got into worry. She got into worry, and she got into worry and opened her door. And everybody was wondering, what happened to her? She got into worry, and as she got into worry, before she knew what was going on, she got into sickness. The same healing evangelist that rocked the whole place in her days was now frail on her bed. Then one day, she just said, one day, by herself, because people had come to pray. One day by herself, I just repent of worry. I just repent of it, Lord. I'm sorry. That's what she said, according to her. I repent of worry. She repented of worry. The devil had no place. I'm not going to worry about this thing anymore. And what happened? What looked like everything just went away. How did it happen? Who opened the door? Because you must understand that the devil does not have power concerning the believer. If the devil comes around the believer, someone open the door. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
That's why Paul will write to Timothy, the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear. The way people open their door, a fear of tomorrow, fear of today. What if my husband leaves me? What if my children don't amount to something? Like, no, we don't think like that. Imagine the one you imagine. Fear. What if I don't get a job? What if, what if, what if? What do you do by that? Open the door. You that you are seated far above, what have you done? You open the door. You can't legalize it, say it anyhow. I am telling you, if you see the devil racking a place, somebody opened the door. Somebody did. The Holy Ghost might need to open our eyes to see who did, but somebody opened the door. Because if somebody not opened the door, we are saying that the devil has a right to inflict the Christian without, and the devil has been defeated. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense, because the devil has actually what? Being defeated. We must come to the point that we understand that we actually open the door. Amen.
Amen.
Worry. Fear. Amen.
Amen.
Guilt. You do something. And because you do something and it's wrong, go and repent. Talk to the Lord. Talk to your spiritual leaders. Don't just keep it. Because you know what's going to happen to you? The devil comes and you see, you're a believer. And you did this, you stole this, you did this. And get restored. But if you don't do that, what's going to happen? I remember the story of a particular lady that was plagued, right? Was in my ministry team and was sent out to go do something, and she slept with a brother. And from that day, the devil put in her mind that she had HIV/AIDS. She never tested. She didn't do anything. She just lived that way. I'm not talking about a story of someone far away. I mean, in those days when we are doing the things of the Spirit, she's just going to sit down. She'll be doing, you know, she's going to carry my Bible. You know, she's going to, sister, let's come. No. What was going on? We'll never want to marry anybody because obviously she's a Christian, so she doesn't want to transfer the virus. Until one day she heard the truth that she could receive. And she received the truth that God loves her and God cares, because the devil from uni had been telling her, you're finished of all the glory. And after that day, all this speaking in tongues, all this. Why? Condemnation. Guilt. And will not talk to anybody. And before you know it, it's eating deep, 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 deep. That men will come. She'll say, no. Nope. Until she heard the truth. Then went for the test. Guess what? She didn't have HIV/AIDS. So she had lived all her life in the lie of the enemy. That's what the devil does, because he has only wiles. So you would have to learn enough to close the door. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. Right? And it is all, it's through this form that the devil oppresses the minds of people. Oppresses the mind of people with lies. That's why the way you keep yourself from opening your door is renewing your mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you and let me tell you something, don't accommodate bad moods. Let me just say that. Don't just say, hey, I just woke up. You wake up and you feel, because the devil operates in that way as well. You wake up and you're just feeling like, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against every foul mood. In Jesus' name, I take a hold of my emotions. Don't just stay there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, because we must understand that while there are birds that can be rolling or flying, we don't need the bird. We can stop the bird from pulling on our head. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Why? You like this. Amen. Amen. So don't give a free course. Close the door. And how do you close the door? It's the lust of the flesh. Look, let's look at another one that believers seem to fall into. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, are you there? Say, I will close the door. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Is it now in? Okay, yeah. Look at verse 10. To whom ye, church, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. If I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, forgive KJV. For your sakes, forgive I it. In the person of Christ. He's just saying, Second Corinthians 2, verse 10. He's just saying, let's look at it this way. Fola offends Tammy. Tammy writes to me and tells me that Fola has offended her. I now say to Tammy, Tammy, forgive her. As you are forgiving her, I have forgiven her as your leader. I forgive her as being the representative of Christ here. That's this forgive, I eat. That he's saying here. Amen. Praise God. That's what he's saying there. Now look at what is more important. See what he's now telling the guy in verse 11. After he talks about forgiveness, what does he say in verse 11? Less what? Satan should do what? Hey, are you not seated? You are seated. But can Satan take advantage of you? Yes, he can. If you're ignorant, so you live in unforgiveness. You live in bitterness. You give it an excuse. But he says, what is happening there? You're living in bitterness. People even justify it today and say, people don't teach people walk in the spirit. They are teaching people more, block that person that is affecting your mental space. So we are very fickle believers who can't go through things. I'm not endorsing that people are perpetually stupid, but I'm actually saying that train yourself onto godliness. Every minute, I'm not talking to that one again, every minute, no. It's not Christianity. In this world, you have tribulation. You think it's talking about demons. It's talking about human beings. Praise God. Learn it. People even glorify it. Block him. And they have no emotional capacity. It's true. Endure hardness. Practice the gospel. Forgive men. Practice. It is you practice this kingdom. And let me tell you something about our kingdom. The kingdom of this world will give you opportunities to practice it. Amen. Yeah. Practice hardness. Practice the. How will you walk in love until someone actually walks in hate against you? Say, I bind everybody that is binding. People will do evil to you. You know, I'm like, you have done evil to me. I'm going to love you. All this, I walk in love. I walk in love. Amen. Yeah. I'm a people know that it's easy to walk in love without victory, but if it gives everybody money here. Yeah. Where is it labor? When we know that it is a territorial problem. And we say, we all now will give ourselves to 5 hours praying for Brother Victory. The same Brother Victory that was cursing my father. The same Brother Victory that stole my car. How do we walk in love if it is only sweet by and by? Amen. Amen. The Bible says Jesus, he was reviled, but he reviled not. They plucked his beard. You know they've not come near you. They plucked his beards. Do you know? Try your own. Try those ones that have beards. Pluck it. That's what the Bible says. That's what Isaiah says. They plucked his beards. They stripped him naked. Amen. They even said, if you are God, come down. And the Bible says he used it to teach us how to live. It's not a calling to stupidity. Do you know that there is a higher life that makes the foolishness of people look like they are babies? And because you are if for example now, if Carissa is here and Carissa pulls, we don't get angry. Why? She's a baby. Amen. Stop getting overly agitated. Amen. Amen. Our new daddy. Amen. Amen. You don't get angry. You say, the baby has pulled. Imagine we find Dickin Tosin. Carissa, what is that nonsense for? You know you are two. You are two. You are pulling on your nappy. What nonsense? Who will we take care of? Carissa or Dickin Tosin? You are the man with the spirit. You must know it. See, I can never say sorry if they don't say sorry. Who told you? And you allow marital issues prolonged for weeks, months. You will just decide not to walk in the spirit. The Bible says you walk in the spirit so that you don't yield to the flesh. There is a war in town. Let me show you. Okay, let me show you the war in town. We'll come back here, we'll conclude. There's a war in town, Galatians 5. You gotta pick your side. There's a war in town. Don't say, I don't know. There's a war in town. Look at verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Okay, we can conclude now. Are you getting something? Church, are you getting something? Say, I'll close the door. There's a war in town. Look at verse 16. It says, this I say unto you. Walk in the... Church, walk in the... That you do not... So that brother is angry that we are begging, that we are begging, that he's saying no. Is he walking in the spirit?
No.
What is he walking in?
Flesh.
So that I'll see that you get it. If he continues long enough, what will he accommodate? Who will he give place to?
The devil.
The devil. So we must be smarter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, because people always wonder, how do men get disturbed by the devil? This same devil has been defeated, but it is still the same man that opened the door. Look at verse 17. Look at the war. For the flesh, what does the flesh do? Lusteth how? Against. It's a war. Who is the flesh against? Church, who is the flesh against? So there is something that is against your reality. So there is something in you that will be saying, yeah. Precious insulted you. Insult her back. Ah. Does she not know who you are? Don't you know who they call you? If others don't know who you are, I know who you are. I don't know if people have thoughts that talk to them. Yeah. It's the lust of the flesh. How dare your wife say to you that you are not a man and you are looking? You are looking. Why did God give you hands? What are we talking about? Lust of the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
For the flesh, the Bible, lusted is present continuous. This is not finished work. Amen.
Amen.
This is continuous work. The flesh is in a war with the spirit, present continuous. It will still war today. It's not prophecy, fact. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against thee. So what is the spirit too doing? So there's a war. You are in the middle. The flesh is saying, give him back. Does he not know who you are? The flesh is saying, he that is born of God does not. The spirit is saying, he that is born of God does not walk in hate. For you have been translated from the spirit, kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear. Don't hear. In your mind is happening. You even be hearing some messages. That's the reason why sometimes I shout. There was a believer that called me one time like that. Say, Pastor, I'm always hearing your voice during conflict with my husband. I say, it's a good thing. If it's my voice you are hearing, you will not give him back. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember. Don't call on him. Verse 17. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. Are you there? The one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. So, bro, you are not neutral. There is a spirit, there is the flesh. And they are actually, they want to be involved in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? They want to be involved. So spiritual things are happening. The flesh, your decisions is either coming from the flesh or the spirit. Spiritual things are happening. The flesh will be telling you give you an excuse. You think you just bring a mindset of, wait, what am I going to wear to work tomorrow? Inside Holy Ghost meeting. And you're thinking about, should I wear the indigo blue or crocodile red? Or tomato pink? No. Has that file been filed? Hey, and someone is in the meeting prophesying. The Holy Ghost is telling you, bro, they are prophesying. Bro, you are thinking of work on Tuesday. I am telling you that the Bible has explained it here. It says there is a lost thing. And you are there. Because the devil has been defeated. But he wants to operate on the earth. He's going to operate through you. He can only operate through human beings that open up. So you say, I'm going to close the door. And so people think you're a fool. That you choose not to walk in malice and bitterness. You say, no, now. I'm a new creation and I don't open the door. Amen. Church, amen. I'm a new creation. I don't open. Let's conclude. Let us conclude. Our conclusion will be our introduction next week. So, look at verse 30. We'll spend a lot of time on this next week, so it's fine. It says, and Ephesians 4:30. And you got to be there. And okay, Ephesians 4, and grieve not. So can I grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes. The word there is stifle, choke. Has anybody ever choked you before in a fight?
No.
Not yet. Okay, good. Amen. You know, if you are in the position of being choked, you know, you cannot give your peace of mind. You cannot counsel. When you are choked, because when you are choked, Let me preach another way. I preached in a youth meeting, and they wanted me to explain grieve not the Spirit. I said, at their level, I said to them that, have you ever been in a place that is called confined spaces? Have you been in a place that is called confined spaces? Meaning, air does not go out, air does not come in, and is a very small place. And somebody that has eaten something from hell, just farts. Paul! What? And the whole place is in a lugubrious state. What is happening to you? You are grieved. You don't just stand up and say, whoa, can you smell what I'm smelling? No, you're like trying to escape. You are like not in the... Are you getting what I'm saying? Grieve. So can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes. Let me say it the other way. If I can, when I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, is there another element I'm amplifying? Who am I amplifying as I'm grieving the Spirit? The flesh. And by extension, if I am grieving the Spirit, I am amplifying the flesh. And by extension, opening the door for the devil. That's it. So the Bible is actually telling you, you have actually defeated. When it comes to defeat, the devil has been beat. But the devil is going to try to catch you through the back door. So we are coming to tell you, close the door. When you close the door, you are a champion. You are indeed a champion. I am telling you that you can actually investigate. Nothing. If God is God, why did this happen? I'm telling you that for anything to happen around our family, around our home, in our lives, there is an opening of the door. It might even be spiritual. You know, ministers, let me talk to ministers around the world. You are in ministry and you are always worrying. Will ministry triumph? Will ministry progress? Will ministry... Bro, you will die. And you are a man of God. And many have died that way. Why am I emphatic this way? I'm emphatic that way because that's how many open the door. Are you hearing me? Say, I don't walk in worry. I always receive the love of God for me. See, when you are going through a situation and circumstance in your life that you are overburdened with worry, overburdened with fear, turn it over to the Lord. Thank you, Father, because you love me. Thank you because you care. Are you hearing me? When you have physical things that are giving you reasons to complain, compare, ask questions, what's going on? See, worry will open the door. That's all. Worry will open up the door to the devil, and the devil will beat that man flat. In this place, it's not that you can use your authority. You open the door. You told him, come in. So what you do, remember God's love for you. That's why you must realize that nobody is in charge of your happiness and joy. You are. Situations and circumstances are not. People think, oh, when I have some more money, I will be happier. Bro, you realize that people that have more money commit suicide. Settle it now. God is my joy. God is my love. He is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is indeed my helper, my Isaiah, that one that never leaves. He never forsakes me. Even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of situation, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, I have this Isaiah. I don't see him. I don't feel him. I believe. I am a believer. I don't open up to the devil. I don't open up to complaining and murmuring. He says, don't complain and murmur that we are not like men in this perverse and crooked generation. He now tells us about the Old Testament. He tells us how these guys in the Old Testament, he says they murmured. They murmured and complained. They grieved the Holy One of Israel. They tried to tempt the Lord. He says all these things were written for our learning. Wait, no, no, no. Who actually gets into the camp? The enemy gets into the camp with ungodliness. You would have opportunities to murmur and complain. Even tonight, you say, glory to God. God is my help. God is my strength. The ever-present help in the time of need. Oh, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Ah, whom shall I fear? What can God do? What can man do to me? You open the scriptures in your mind. You declare Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? You open Psalm 23. You say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You don't allow the devil in. You put the word upon your mouth. You say, God is with me. I'm a champion in this life. God is with me. I'm a king and a priest. I reign on earth. I'm a believer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Neither death, neither tribulation, neither nakedness, neither sword, neither peril. Nothing separates me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, 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 nothing. He says, oh, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. Oh, we are more than conquerors. We are more. The man that wrote that thing was in a jail. The man that wrote that thing was beaten and buffeted. He said, oh, you know what? I can't write at this moment. He said, somebody, start to write for me. Let me say something to the Roman church. And he started to talk to the Roman church. He says, neither death nor tribulation, neither perils nor sword, neither angels nor principalities, nothing can separate me. Brother Paul, you are in a lot of trouble. Nothing can separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. Brother Paul, they said they will behead your head. Nero said it's coming for you. Nothing can separate me. Behold, in all these things, we are more. We are more. We are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Rise upon your feet.